Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the boys. With your hosts, Crystal CB Booker, and the boys, George Biker Boy Hallman, Roger Hawkins, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Get set for music, motivation, conversation, and fun. Now here's CB and the boys.
Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I am CB, your hostess with the mostest, and I got my fam in the building. Got my boys, Mr. George Biker Boy Holman, and Mr. Roger Hawkins, and of course, we have the fabulous Miss Mimi Acosta in the building. So how are you guys tonight?
I am fantabulous. I got my wine. I got my family. It's about to be popping.
Would you say fabulous?
Fabulous.
What's good?
All right.
Awesome.
Being chill, being chill. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good. I can't complain. What have you guys been up to? How was your weekend? Did you have a great Memorial Day weekend?
Busy, that's for sure. I've been traveling a little bit, as I am right now, but all things being equal, yes, everything was good.
Nice. So where are you now?
In the building.
Yeah. I'm actually sitting next to the big dog himself. I'm right next to George.
That's what I thought you were in, Casey.
Hey.
You know how I move.
Hey, Crystal, look.
Yeah.
There he is.
Hey.
I'm all over the place. I'm hip, I'm slick, and all women love my attraction.
Nice.
Hopefully I don't smoke you out.
Right.
Yes, you know.
What's going on? Mimi, what's up? I mean, girl, you look like, you know, as soon as you hang up, you know, you got some real live grown-up shit to tend to. Talk to me. You just fly for no reason.
No, I'm fly for no reason, okay? I decided that I'm going to be on the show, and I got people watching, so you never know.
All right, mama, all right.
Hey, now, look. You know? you fly for no reason. We can't use the B-Fly going into Walmart. Going in with bonnets on their head and pajamas and flip-flops and fuzzy shoes.
Not in Tiffany with no bonnet and no flip-flops.
But, yo, we were talking, and I was at the airport today, and I couldn't take it. I was about to lose it. And I'll just piggyback on what Sister Monique is talking about, you know what I mean? Because she went in, and she said what she said, and everybody came for her. And all I'm going to say to those people is they need to have two seats because the simple fact is it's embarrassing. I'm at the airport, and all I see are my sisters out there in house shoes, pajamas and shit, bonnets, everything that should be inside out. So I'm 100 with her, you know, and I know DL's talked about it, a lot of other people have as well, but the fact that I actually was looking at it early this morning, it made me real mad. I was upset. I mean, I told my family, if y'all ever go anywhere like that, promise you I'll be on a different flight. Not that they would do that, but they understood where I was coming from. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But my thought is, as ladies who have hair that you have to take care of, and, you know, you have more to do than we do, you know, you got a little bit of makeup, you've got whatever, what is considered comfortable, and then what's considered tacky, what's just considered not caring, trifling, as we like to call it. Like, how do y'all feel about that when you see other sisters looking like that?
I mean, at the end of the day, good evening, JJ. How you doing? What's up?
What's going on, mama?
So this is my little take on that, right? Because at the end of the day, I know that when I travel, I want to be, like, totally comfortable because I know that we got to go through TSA, we got to strip pass for the stuff, all this good old stuff, go through the machines. We don't even like going through all that. So I really, like, go, like, as basic as I can, like a sweatsuit, sports bra because, you know, they don't want to be up under all your stuff. They see the wires. They don't believe that the wire is the wire. So now they got to come doing all the extra feeling up. And ain't nobody going to touch my body like that. So, you know, I do the extreme minimum so we don't have to go through that. But I still do my little baseball cap. Just like I think it was Ricky Smiley was talking about that. Like, we could put on a little baseball cap, a little lip gloss,
exactly.
And you could move it. They don't even make you take off your hat anymore. You know, so it's
right.
Like, come
that,
on now.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
You can look presentable.
The fact that, right, you don't have to do the whole makeup.
You
have to do all that. But like you said, yes, ball cap it. You know, you can put sweats on. You can be comfortable. You can be casual. But you can still have class about yourself.
But, yeah,
but why would you
like
wear
you're
something
to sleep,
that you sleep
like you just
in?
Came out the shower.
Right. That I think that's the problem. Like, we're just going so far with the I don't care attitude. And I think that's the issue. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to put on a face of makeup. You don't have to have on high heels, although there are people that do it. But they have a different motive and fine for them. But I still feel like when you just don't care, and then instead of, like, taking ownership for it, unfortunately, we get this attitude. You know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me what to do. I can be comfortable. I don't care. I'm not looking for anybody. I'm not trying to impress anybody, which is actually a straight-up lie. It's a straight-up lie. But the problem is, unfortunately, so many people that are doing that either don't have someone or don't have someone right next to them. You do the math. I'm sorry. You can't be conditional, and I am. But what I won't be is next to someone like that, and then I don't ever want to have to get looks that I feel like I have to explain. I mean, I was on the plane today, too, and I was comfortable, but my comfortable was, it still was acceptable. There wasn't all this madness. I'm matching, you know, you like you said, you can have on sweats, you can have on tennis shoes, you can have on a ball cap, all that good stuff, but you don't have to look like you live under a bridge. But I just think that it shows how far down we have fallen. And you know, again, to quote Monique again, she was saying, you know, sisters want to hear people say, hey, queen, how you doing? Lovely. How are you wonderful women doing? But you're not representing like a queen. So I'm not going to call you that. I'm not even going to look at you like that. Because if you can't even make yourself presentable in public, but then you're so ready to fight, pop off, and defend yourself, I think that's wrong. You know, I just do. And, again, I think most people agree with that. And then for the ones that get mad, it's like, look, I live in Vegas. You know how much trash I see get on the plane and going home and coming to and from there? If you get that messed up, keep your ass at home. Like, nobody wants to see that on a plane. It hurts me to see my people do that. And I say my people because, for the most part, we're the only ones that do it. And we do it to death. And I think it's trifling. I think we've got to come a little more correct than that. You know, the self-respect needs to come back. We need to carry ourselves and act accordingly, you know, to the way we claim we are or want to be. So, I mean, I'm sure people have commentary about it, but, you know, you never change my mind on that.
Right.
Because, again, what if there is someone on there who may be interested? What if there is a business opportunity? What if there is something life-changing, someone who could change your life? And it doesn't mean you're looking for a husband or whatever, but I'm sure a lot of people may be. But how could you ever let that be your representative? Like, I would never want somebody to catch me looking, you know, less than my best if I'm thinking about, again, business, job opportunity, investment. Anything can walk in front of you. But if you're not prepared for it, you will miss that opportunity. And today just really hurt me because I saw about 6 different episodes of individuals walking through the airport, and it just pissed me off. You know how you get mad going to beat your kids for shit somebody else's kid did? That's what I had to do. I had to send a message home. but let's see what's JJ talking about. Walking around in house shoes and a bonnet is ghetto as hell. You can be comfortable and still be fashionable or even dress down. Facts right there. So coming from another woman, a lady, who agrees, when you leave the house, you are representative of yourself and whoever's in your home, whoever raised you, whatever. So, I mean, you know, folks talk about it. Crystal, what do you think?
I was going to say that you only get one chance to make a first impression. So you want that first impression to be at your best, and you can't be at your best with a bonnet on your head. And it's not just, you know, going into, you know, airport. Yeah, comfort is definitely important. A baseball cap is cool, cute, chic, fashionable.
Right.
But a bonnet,
you got some chain,
too much.
You put some on that.
And it's like, you know, and George, you can attest to this, when people go to Walmart, it's like they don't give a damn. It's like they just
all
wake up.
All day, every day, they be in the furry house shoes. And here's what's killed me. This is even dumber than just that situation. I mean, they'll come in wintertime. In the wintertime, have shorts on and furry house shoes. And then got the nerve to have a big coat on. Fuck you mean?
But wait.
I'm confused for you.
And I guess they made it fashionable by putting like a strap on the back, like a sandal. So now that it's considered acceptable, I do not agree.
Let me throw this out there. Ladies, if you're listening, I'm telling you, you drawing a picture that the white man drew a long time ago.
Right.
And remember Tom and remember, are you old enough to remember Tom and Jerry cartoon?
With Mammy.
Uh-huh.
Mammy.
Yep. Mammy. Bonnet and house shoes.
Word. That's hey. True. It's blackface all
you
over.
You know what I'm saying?
And the whole comfort thing, I think when we get into the area of comfort, people take that way too far. We've all said it. Mimi said it. Look, sports bra, get a ball cap, maybe put on something that, you know, you can stretch out in. You don't have to have on heels or dress and all of that. But point blank, and I've said it before, if a woman can dress up and be fly, but then, you know, she can switch it up on you, say she's coming to watch you hoop or coming to shop or whatever, and she can wear, like, sweats, canvas shoes, and a ball cap and all that, there is something sexy about that because it shows that you can be classy at any level. But that still means you still...
I know you do.
Because we like that. That's around the way girl. That's around the way fillet. And because we know if you look good in that and you've made it look good and dress it up, oh, hell, when
right.
you really dress up, it's going to be a wrap. Exactly my point. Why can't we still do that? Why,
right.
I mean, that's the absolute truth. Okay, Crystal
you
said.
Crystal
Langford
said. Crystal said your outside
yes.
reflects your inside. She's
right. And that's true. If people see you, look, you and CB just said it. You only get one chance to make a first impression. And, yeah, you can – if you screw up, you can kind of finagle some of that and work back through it. But the first way I saw you is how I saw you. And there's just no real way around that because you can be like, oh, man, okay, dude is like 90%. But, man, that first time – and you can never let that go. And that's really just innately human to do that. People just automatically look for – where's the glitch in the matrix? You know, where's the dent in the fender? And so if you come out looking like, you know, all day long, just looking throwed away, it's like, come on. And I feel like, but again, you'd be amazed at how entitled and enabled some of these people are. They actually have attitudes about it. That's what I'm saying. Where you, please either call in and write in, tell me where the real friends are because I'm sick of everybody going, I would tell my girls, I would do whatever. No, you wouldn't because you know what? It's way too many adult women, adult people walking around looking a mess and nobody's telling them yet people are standing right next to them. So some of y'all, a lot of y'all are a bold-faced lie. Now, you can call my best friend right now and say, would he tell you? And I guarantee you he'll be like in a couple of languages. But I would expect the same. That's what a real friend does. Everybody claims to be a real friend. Some of y'all are lying because you let people like that go out. And then you reinforce that bullshit and edify it by laughing, high-fiving, or even dressing similarly. So where are my adults? Where are the real friends? Where are the real family members that would say, hell no, you're not getting in my car like that? Because apparently they're just riding along laughing, going, whatever, I that's not a friend to me. To let me do wrong? And then kind of be like, you know, you shrug your shoulders and then think, whatever, that's on them. You're not a real friend. So, you know, where are my adults at? Because, you know, there's no way we should be seeing this at airports, you know, Houston Airport, Atlanta Airport, Vegas Airport, LAX. We shouldn't be seeing that. We shouldn't be seeing it anywhere, walking down the street, going anywhere. And it's very prevalent.
If I tell you how much I ignore that, I ignore it now because I've seen it so much that you might catch a couple little young girls and it's like, what just happened? Y'all just jump out of bed and came to the airport. You make a joke out of it because, you know, they're young and they go, oh, yeah, we didn't have time for this, so we were rushing and I'm like, and, you know, and they're young and, okay, it's one thing. But when you see grown women doing this, and see, the thing about it, because, look, and I'm going to say this, but I don't want nobody to shoot at me. So hold on to your Uzis and your AK-47s and stuff.
I got you.
But I am going to say this, right? Because there is a high demand for women getting their hair done and the whole weave thing. And folks ain't got time to take care of their hair. So now they're throwing on these bonnets. And that's supposed to be, like, the fix it until you get to where you're going to fix your hair. Like, there is so many excuses out there. But it doesn't look good, regardless of what, you know, like you said. You know, you could miss your opportunity just walking into a place like that because you could be the cutest little thing and somebody could be thinking to themselves, she's really beautiful, but why is she doing with a whole pajama set? And,
right.
Know, how does she
mean, do you not care?
Day? Like, you know, can we get her in a commercial? Because she looks good, but we don't want to say nothing.
Exactly.
That's how we going to expect her to show up anywhere she goes.
But also, like you, I mean, I get what you're saying. You're right. The demand in terms of hair and nails. Look, I don't necessarily place that demand on anyone all the time. I do feel like there are times for, you know, there's always times to obviously step it up or whatever the case may be. But for people that feel like they have to do that all day, every day, that's on them. That's your choice. For people that feel like they never have to, again, your choice, but you have to live with the consequences. I also feel like, look, everybody wants to be called beautiful. Name one person, raise your hand, who wants to be called ugly. Okay, since everybody wants to be referred to as, hey, gorgeous, hey, beautiful, hey, queen, then fucking get up 30 to 45 minutes earlier and do that. I'm not saying, you again, not a full face full of makeup, not a whole new hair doing all that, presentable. If we got up and just ran out the house, if you didn't brush your teeth, brush your hair, if you didn't, you know, pit stick it and all that shit, trust me, it's going to be picked up on. I mean, it just is what it is. For lack of a better phrase, I mean, it may not be fair, but it's why you're called the better sex. It's why you're called the fairer sex. It's why you're all these. I'm sorry, but the expectation, the bar is set high. But you know what? My bar is going to be high for you simply because my bar is high for me. And if I'm not trying to come sideways, then I'm not going to let you. If my lady doesn't make sure that, look, even if it's something as goofy as, you know, where you going? If your lady doesn't grab you and say, come here, let me, you know, sisters, you know, let your elbows be ashy. Sisters will grab you in a minute, won't y'all? And rub this shit down and all that. It should be the same way in reverse. You're not going to come out there if you're not matching. If your shirt's wrinkled and your woman grabs you and goes, let me iron that. You know, but that just means you care. So there's no way that these women can have men that really love them, or at least they're not afraid of them, that would let them go out like that. My sister can't do it. My daughters can't do it. No woman I consider my family or anything I'm going to let walk out like that, especially with me. I can't do it.
Right.
I can't do it. But I expect the same from you guys. If I got a stain on the back of my shirt and I don't know it, y'all need to be like, Raj, that's a work shirt now. That's no longer going out, sir. That shirt's beat up. Y'all, you need to tell me. It's got holes and shit in it. That's why that's what you're here for. But, I just think we've got to step it up. This is the time. We have to get back to what I'm sure our grandparents and their parents, you know, showed and taught them. Again, put your best foot forward. Straight up. That's straight out.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there. And we going to go left real quick because we talking about this, and it made me think of some other things I've seen. So I don't know any nice way to put it, but I'm just going to tell you.
Oh, shit.
Men. And I ain't been to your house. So this means I'm seeing it in public. Stop wearing onesies.
You lying. You ain't seen no man in no onesie.
Man, if I had my other phone that got stolen, I can show you pictures right now of motherfuckers walking through Walmart in onesies.
So hold on. We talking about the onesie that I love seeing women in, by the way. But you talking about the shit you button between your crotch? Like
the motherfucker zipper, one zipper all the way up.
But like the shorts, are you just talking about like,
no,
I don't care.
From the ankle, nigga, to the shoulders, onesie. With the feet.
Like the
okay.
little baby.
I done seen it two or three times.
Like the
Walmart,
bloody pajamas.
I'm in Walmart like, is this motherfucker wearing a onesie? I'm on the radio. Hey, y'all. Look at this dude going down A9. This is a grown-ass man in a onesie. Everybody come ready to look.
And it's not Halloween. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A jump.
So while we on the women and they bonnets and all that stuff, niggas, quit wearing onesies, goddammit. If you want to wear that motherfucker at home in your private, go ahead. I can't tell you what to do there.
I mean,
but
yeah, if it was
if
Halloween,
you coming out in public wearing onesies thinking you cool, I'm going to test you. I'm telling you, because I'm going to talk shit right to you. I ain't going to say nothing, but all I'm going to say is, nigga, you wearing a onesie?
Where's your gun? You got to unzip your boots to get it.
Right.
Those old red pajamas they had in the cartoon.
What's
up?
The jumpsuit.
Yeah. Nah, it ain't no jumpsuit. It's a onesie. A bona fide onesie.
Wow.
You know that outfit you put on your baby, on your one-year-old, because you don't feel like getting them dressed? Just throw them in a onesie, take them to the store?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, come on.
That's
come
it.
On. Look,
I've seen it.
That's bad, man. That's real. But
I might have some of them pictures up on my cloud. I don't know. I had to look, but I'm telling you, I've seen those in onesies.
That's a fact now, where men act like babies, and women like change their diapers and stuff. They can poop in their diapers, and they change their diapers. They're literally a grown man. It's a fetish.
Yeah, right. You're right. There's no way in holy hell I could ever, you know, go along with any of that. But you're right, it is a fetish. Just about everything is, but I that is a whole mess. I can't, you know, I don't get that. I just don't get that, you know. I guess some people are alphas, some are betas, some are who the hell knows what. But I can't even imagine. Yeah, that's a whole mess. But you're right, there's... But there's a club for everything, shall we say.
Yeah.
But, no.
That's like, you know, men who love plushies. They get off, you know, feeling stuffed animals and stuff like that. And it's not just, you know, men,
what?
Women. To that
what, wait, back up, back reverse. Men that love what?
Plushies.
Like
stuffed animals.
Yeah,
they fucking teddy bears. Put it like that. They love stuffed animals.
Literally.
All right, eat your own.
See, I mean, hey, do you, boo-boo. At least more normal people.
But that's
more
cool.
Normal people.
You know what? But they probably knew that, and they probably had a room in their house full of stuffed animals. Mama come through there and be like, oh, damn, your girl ain't just hollering, nigga. It's mine.
And it's
home, my
it's
room alone.
And all the
that's cool. I bet they walked around the store with stuffed animals between their arms and shit.
Hey, have you seen Colors? Remember Damon Wayans? Remember Bunny Rabbit? Colors?
Get back my rabbit.
But I'm just saying, like, that's horrible. You go over there and there's holes in all the teddy bears. Poor little teddy bear.
Oh, my God.
No, thanks. We'll pass on. Hey, you know what? Everybody has a thing, but ugh.
They do.
So, okay, now here's a question. Are we out of line? Because, you know, some people get upset and want to fight. would you be out of line if you said to someone, male or female, you know, if you would ask them why they did what they did, or to say, hey, you know, you ever consider, like, tightening that up? Or would you not want to risk that? Because I know we all are, you should tell them, but you know some people are quick to want to, you know, fight or worse. So how do we... You know, how do we break that cycle if we can't even talk candidly with our own people because, you know, somebody's going to get butt hurt, somebody's going to want to shoot or do whatever. How do you do that?
Nowadays, you damn near can't. It's right. All upon friends and family.
Well, shit, that's a rule.
Because a stranger trying to get somebody some type of advice like that or something, that's automatic. Oh, you insult me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now you're rolling around in the bread aisle.
true.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, here's what jacked up. That a stranger would have to tell you that. Instead of somebody inside your circle.
But
I was about to say that. Uh-huh. And two, I was also about to say that, yeah, you're right. You almost can't say that to people nowadays because you're going to have Pookie Ray Ray, everybody coming out of the house trying to jump you because you done told their people that they should not come out of the house in a bonnet and slipping. But
right. That's
not even the point. My thing is, at some point, that individual is going to look in the mirror and be like, you know what, maybe I'm not getting jobs because people are looking at me and I'm out here looking crazy. So let me get my shit together. It might just happen that way.
I want to believe that, Mimi, but
they don't think that.
If you 35, 40, 50, and you're still doing it, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get the message. I what you're saying makes all the sense in the world to a sensible person. But unfortunately, people will make excuse after excuse for years rather than admit I'm the problem. And therein lies the problem.
You know what, Benjamin, this is a problem that's always been around all our life because if you think about it, only thing that changed was the merchandise. Because literally just a couple of days ago, I seen two older ladies had to be rushing around 60, maybe 65, coming into the store, and they get out the car, cutting into the store, and I look, and I swear to God, it's the first time in a long time that I seen the big rollers. Remember back in the 70s, you see them with the big rollers in the air?
Oh, God.
And think about it.
Rollers.
Back then, they used to go, women go to the grocery store with the big rollers in the air.
They still
you know,
make
so they still go. I know, that's what I said. I'm like, damn. I know you didn't buy that.
Yeah,
you've been saving that since 1978.
Right. She broke those out or something. She didn't pay for those. But I can't do it. And you know what? I don't want to come off like I'm telling women what to do and all that. But I can't allow that. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
So back in the
There's
day,
no way I can.
Back in the day, it was the rollers. Now today,
it's
the bonnet. It's
the bonnet.
It's a whole circle.
Everybody doesn't do it
though. It's a cycle.
And I know we're kind of crucifying the masses right now. And yes, I get that everybody that everyone doesn't do it. But when enough people do it, that it gets the attention of everyone, including role models, celebrities, people that have a platform. Then clearly that's too much. So it doesn't matter if it's 10%, 40%, whatever. Enough people are doing it. That unfortunately is really rubbing people the wrong way. I'll even go so far as to say our particular generation, we learned from, you know, some of our families, the 60s groups and all that. I remember being a teenager wearing a suit to a party. I remember trying to dress up, you know, back when everybody had the patent leather Bobby Brown shoes and the suits from Jeans West and Coat and all that shit. I mean, we tried. You can't pay these young people to do that anymore. I mean, dressing up to them and breaking out a T-shirt out of the package. That's dressed up to them. You know, new tennis shoes.
Back in the day, I had two or three Zoom suits.
But, again, you won't see that very often. And when you do, it's such a weird, like, thing that people are taken aback. They wonder, like, what's wrong with you? You know, you Muslim or something? Like, people think that that's wrong,
which is sad.
So it's not like we don't have it. It's not like it hasn't been ingrained in our culture. But it definitely... There's been some, you know, somebody took a side road, a fork in the road. They took a detour. We've got to get back on the mainstream. I'm not saying it's a dress of the nines, but it damn sure paints a prettier picture. You know, it really does.
And it's funny you would mention those stores because back in those days, I was the store manager of a Jeans West at Bantam Mall. And when I left that job and went to be a store manager at Merry-Go-Round, because they offered me more money. And when I tell you, my motherfucking closet looked like Jeans West and Merry-Go-Round truck had a head-on collision.
But
I had nothing but suits, boy. I looked like I was going to church every day.
But at least you could honestly say, I mean, if you look back at the pictures, you know, we all took them. The picture with the backdrop, you know, we had a dude in KC, we called 2 for $5. Everybody had a picture, man. But if you look at those pictures, look at how we were dressed. Late 80s into the early mid 90s, and then all of a sudden it just went boom. And I want to really say is not that I didn't have a pair of Crocs eyes and cross colors and shit like that, but that oversized, baggy look, once it took over, you know, it kind of never looked back with the sagging and with the, just the whole not fitting, the ill-fitting clothing and shit like that. And so now I look at it and I just go, man, how can we get back to that? The problem is we have gotten back to, I guess, form-fitting things, but unfortunately now everything fits like a damn unitard. And, you know, mm-hmm. people are sagging skinny jeans. So I'm a little more afraid. You ain't seen that? Come on, man.
How the hell you sag skinny jeans?
If I hadn't seen it, if I hadn't seen it done, I wouldn't believe it either. I've seen it done.
Skinny, no booty having motherfucker to be sagging skinny jeans.
It doesn't matter. The whole picture with that is something. But, hey, you know what? Again, you can't say anything. It starts in the home, and unfortunately, we talked about this, but when your generations are so close together, they overlap, it's really difficult to do anything different. Shit, you got three generations in one house, and nobody's over the age of 50. Well, shit, they all clubbing together. The kid is 21, mama might be 35, and grandma's 50. Shit, y'all all in the club together. So, you know, there it is. Prop.
That is true, right. You know, when you think of that. And that kind of goes into our next topic about age. But before we do that, let's pause for the pause. If you're just joining us, you're listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and also Beagle Live, make sure that you do stick around at the end of the show for our after show. Should be quite juicy. But back to our show, to CB and the Boys. All right, so this takes us into our next segue about age. So Roger made a really good point a few minutes ago about, you know, mom and daughter and granddaughter are all out at the club. So that got me to thinking, you know, about, is age really just a number? I mean, think about that. Many people kind of chase after their youth if they're over a certain age, and they'll date someone who is much younger. And do you guys think that it's recapturing youth, or is it something within that person that they have to deal with as far as getting older? Because, you know, we're not Benjamin Buttons. We're not going to get younger as we get older. But as long as you have that youth mindset where you're not too old to learn something, you're not too old to take chances, to live your life, to follow your dreams. You're never too old to do those things. But for some people, it's been ingrained in them that you're too old, you don't do this. Like if you listen to grandma from back in the day who tells you, you know, you just need to sit down and be a lady, you're going to let life pass you by. And that's how my grandma was. I was raised the Southern way, and I basically had to break out of that chain, out of that stereotype. Whereas, you know, being raised the Southern way, you have to, you know, be pleasing, and you don't make waves, and you don't rebel against things. But I had to break that stigma, and I would borrow my grandmother's car without her permission, literally. And that's something that, you know, you're not supposed to do, but I did it quite often. And but I didn't rock the boat, but I did. Well, I didn't sink the boat, but I rocked it a bit. And I think that, you know.
So you didn't think it, but you rocked it.
I put a hole in it.
Yeah, don't think we were going to get rid of that line.
Oh, he's good.
I like that one. Go ahead.
I didn't think it, but
I rocked it. Oh, shit.
Right. Can rock it a little.
Hey, that's all right.
I think it's a nice, healthy rock, you know, because that's how we learn, you know.
I'm going to let young people start acting a fool.
Now, question for you. Are you just talking about, venturing out, pursuing whatever, Or are you talking about, you know, more along the relationship tip as far as age? Like, I agree out the gate that you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to smile and experience things. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people only start to live life, believe it or not, once they make it into their second half or their third, as if you want to call it that, because unfortunately you spend the first part of it screwing up and then trying to repair. So, yeah, I definitely agree that the second part of your life is easily the most fun because you've made mistakes, you've learned, you've gained wisdom. But, yeah, I think a lot of us had to be raised, quote unquote, safely because of our situation, whether you had a single parent or whether you guys didn't have a lot of money, whatever the case it was for a lot of us, our parents did what they had to do to keep us as safe as they could. But then once you get to be an adult and once you get some experience under your belt, you can kind of take the reins off and, you know, run free as it is. So, I mean, but are you just talking about, like, in terms of experience, period, or just, like, relationship, or what are you talking?
I would say probably a combination of all, because it kind of coincides when you really think about it. Because the older you get, the old cliche is the older you get, the wiser you get. But there's some people who don't learn. You know, you can, you know, continue the same toxic cycle hoping to get a different result. But that also is the definition of insanity. So
right. It's
like, where do you draw the line? Like, for example, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, if I'm not mistaken, were 40 years apart in age. And they got married, but not quite 40, but
at least double digits, like 20 maybe, 20-ish.
Was it 20? But they,
yeah.
It was
honey,
a big
if it was
gap.
40, I'd be like, she was wrong as hell.
Hey, that'd be like Betty White and shit.
That shit did not go well in my head. I was like, no.
Ooh.
She wasn't even born yet when her ass was out here being hot as fuck.
Hey, but listen, Demi was my girl back in the day. Demi was sexy as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, she was tough in her ghost days and all that. But yeah,
in
I mean, the thing
ghost,
is,
in her ghost days, you're right.
Ghost. When she was, yeah, I know, right? I was in high school and shit.
And
he's like my age.
She was in her 20s in her ghost days.
Yeah, for sure. No, don't get me wrong.
She was
still
around.
Pretty decent. Listen, some people But like at 40, she was still pretty right. Demi was pretty right at 40. All things, you know, being considered, shelf life and all.
Yeah.
Look.
Let me tell you something.
Let me say this, okay? Because I don't know how in tune all you guys are with Hollywood, but I know that I am. And I'll tell y'all something. Hollywood ain't nothing but a setup. I can probably count in my hands. How many couples are really, really real in Hollywood? And you don't really see them in the limelight.
Not for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, those been around, they've been around forever and ever in the days. And now you see them getting divorced, and the man is 70-something years old with a 30-something year old chick. Like, so much shit happens. But a lot of that stuff is contractual. And I know this because I was out there with my artists, you know what I'm saying? And we had proposals, let's just say that, for my artist to meet up with such and such artist because it's going to make him look good, it's going to make her look good. And I was just like, this ain't nothing but Pentville out here. So it does happen. You know what I'm saying? Some people might work in a movie together. Okay, so, you know, look at Angelina Jolie and Brad. You know, you can work in a movie together, and next thing you know, shit pop off. And look at me and my ex. That was the situation. He got me in a movie. Next thing you know, we pop off, and look how fast that shit ended. It happens. So it can happen like that out in Hollywood, you know?
But take out the Hollywood factor, and we're just talking, like, on a regular day-to-day basis. Because you're right. Hollywood is a whole reality show in and of itself. It's not the real world, per se. So we're talking like just Joe Average and Jane Doe. That's a little different, I think. And
it's a little different, and it's still a problem. Because my thing is, at the end of the day, my 50-year-old ass done been where a 30-year-old been, and what am I doing with a 30-year-old?
It depends on what you're looking for, too, though.
On, unless I'm really getting my groove on, because my 50-year-old can't get it up.
So,
if he's 50 and can't get it up already, he got problems.
No, listen, cuz, it's some 30-year-olds that can't. I mean, that's real. That's real. Nah, that's real.
All I'm saying is that shit does happen. So, you know, we ain't got the time to be overworking it. You know, if all we're trying to do is just, you know, get some.
But I think that's what we're talking about. Like, how much can you legitimately have in common with a certain age demographic, for instance? When you're younger, like when you know how people trip out about a 15-year-old dating the hot college kid, 19 or 20-year-old, which, believe it or not, used to be prevalent, but now you go to jail for some shit like that. Now, because, again, a 15-year-old, but here's the thing, a 19-year-old is just a slightly less dumb 15-year-old in some ways. But we look at that gap and go, no, because of one is in high school, one should be wherever else. Then you get to your 20s and 30s, and the allowance goes up a little bit because you can have a 10 or even 15-year gap at that point depending on your life experience and wisdom and, again, what each person is looking for. So I think it varies according to age. Now, shit, you get a little higher up. If a 70-year-old wants to date a 50-year-old, shit, knock yourself out, you know, because
you both have lived
life and done whatever.
I feel the same way, too, as far as a 70-year-old. But me at my age, I don't have anything in common with a 30-year-old except we're about to have some fun. And that's it.
Well,
I can't really expect this guy to really do a whole lot for me. I can't expect it to happen because I am definitely in a different world, and I'm not going to want to take away from him having his fun and living his life just because I'm chill, I'm good, I'm behind the scenes, I can lay down and go to sleep, and you want to be out with your boys partying.
Well, now, what if this individual, say this individual got married early, maybe got divorced, had a family early, did whatever, went to school, did all these things, and then they're on the back side of that. So technically, you have similar experiences in life, and maybe that is a so-called mature individual who wants the same thing you want early on. You're saying you just don't think you'd be willing to risk it because he may backslide?
I don't know. I've been there and done that before at 45.
Gotcha.
So, and it wasn't pleasant because I knew that I wasn't trying to do certain things. He didn't have any kids. I didn't want to put myself in a position where, damn, you know, he ain't got no kids, so I'm not having no more kids. You know what I'm saying? And I just kind of, like, walked away from it, and he was, like, brokenhearted. Trust me, it took years for him to talk to me again. But I really had to let it go, like, really find it in myself to not be unfair and be greedy, knowing I don't want to have any more kids, if that makes sense.
Right.
But
right.
I have a whole
different
ballroom. We're talking about women who are really out here, like, okay, let me go get this 25-year-old. Ew.
But you know what that is. That's just knocking it out.
Hey,
she just wants her mouth toe out.
Mimi, you know you got cougar in you.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not. The thing is, Mimi, you have a particular mindset, which is perfectly fine. Usually people in our demographic will. But you can't say that if you, like, again, there are ladies out there that listen. They've raised children. They've got a pension. They've been doing well in their job. They're set up. Now they want to have fun. And you said it earlier. Sometimes maybe your particular group doesn't want to have fun or run as long as you want to run. And so they move on. But you have to be honest about what you're looking for. Now, you're not maybe trying to make a life decision with someone that much younger, but shit, don't tell me those groups of cougars don't go to different countries and places and wild the hell out and then come back and go to work like, you know, everything, if that's what they're looking for.
They got a move for that. They got a name for that move.
I'm from the islands, and I'm thinking about stateside women coming down to the islands and getting their groove back with them younger guys down there, and they come up here with bullshit. So,
but that's all they want.
It exists. I know it, for sure, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about what you want. I know we were kind of, you know, it's kind of a little different because we were talking about what you have in common. But I feel like, again, I think a 20-year age gap is pretty substantial, I will agree. I think 15 and 10 is doable because, again, your life experiences can take you different places. Wisdom is basically the summation of your experiences. It's not about what you read or what you were told. So you can be 35 or 40 and somewhat wise if you've experienced enough life, just like you can be 50 and naive as hell if you've been in a bubble. So worlds can come together and they can actually, you know, kind of complement one another. But, again, we're talking exceptions, not the rule. But can it happen? Yeah, I think it happens all the time. But that's why when you hear about young women marrying these men, say what it is, because you're talking that bullshit. No, you've got a hell of a bank account. You spit out three puppies. You're 25. You're 50.
Right.
You know, kiss
right.
my ass. You're not in love.
Right.
Just call it what it is.
One thing about it is a double standard, because when a man is with a younger woman, then he's a stud, you know, he's a baller, you know, he's a don. But when a woman is with a younger man, people side-eye her, like, you know, what
you're
is she trying to talk to? She knows she's too tough with the cougar shit, man.
Not anymore.
I would be a cougar. Let me tell you something. When I was messing around with my little young thing, right? I went out to places with him and it'd be like, so does your auntie or your mom want? And we looking good, like, for real? You know. So,
but
you know, there's a reality to that whole thing. I'm sorry. I can't.
Yes, but I don't think the stigma is what it used to be, because nowadays, listen. If you definitely got a younger cat and he's, you know, brother's looking good, doing his thing, he's on the up and up, and you pull a younger man, you get just as many looks, high fives, and atta girls as the other way around. I just think it depends on, like, the nature of it. We say that because, how, again, look at, what's her name, Anna Nicole Smith and people like that. You know, this mother is drooling on himself and peeing in his diaper. And she's talking about she's in love. I would have married that old motherfucker for all the money he had. So I get it. But just say what it is instead of making a fool of yourself going, no, I really love him. Because him and the baby are both eating, you know, oatmeal and cream of wheat because they can't go have peace. It's like, come on, don't give me that. But if you've got an older woman and you're a younger brother, yes. If you got, you know, and vice versa, same thing. We know what it is and it's fine. I think it's become a lot more acceptable. Shit, like I said, I've liked older women my whole life. My grandmother used to tease me.
I agree with JJ. I think it's become more acceptable for Stella to get his groove back.
It gave a voice to what people were thinking. Yes, I agree.
Okay, I love you dearly, honey, but check this out, right? That Stella got her groove back movie did a whole lot of bullshit. Because it's a lot of women out there think that they can go down to the islands and book up with these young guys, and then when they find out that they got to be sending money for cards to Jamaica and all that shit, and this dude done got a whole wife at home with kids, they get mad as hell.
Yeah, but but whose fault is that? Now, it doesn't matter. Who's the fool?
That's Stella's fault.
There you go. So if she's supposed to be older and wiser, and she falls for that bullshit, who the fool? Now, I agree, people should keep it 100, but we know people do not. So let's just get that out of the equation. Some people do, some people don't. The same people that claim to be the good friends in the other conversation claim to be the ones that keep it 100, and most of you motherfuckers are lying. That being said, if you're that much older, you should have that much more experience. Ergo, you should know when a 21-year-old tells you all this bullshit, you should go, okay, baby, pat him on his head, give him a little piece, and then go buy him a hamburger.
I got you, baby. I got you.
Right. I mean, that's real. Mm-hmm. All right.
I wouldn't have a problem being a victim of those situations, because I'm going to tell you now, it was a point in time where Miss Chandler from Young and the Restless could have got it. You know how much money that maybe that woman was worth? Miss Chandler could have got it. Boy, I'm telling you.
I'm trying to think who's even
Erica Kane from all of
this. I'm trying to think who could be my cougar at this point. Like, who would be my cougar at this point? You 100 and a half, nigga. Ain't nobody gonna be a cougar to you. It would have to be like fucking Patti LaBelle or somebody, man. Miss Patti can sing, make a nigga tie or something. Hey, but that, I just think, unfortunately, if people start to take more ownership for whatever they do or don't do, look, if you mess up, you'd be like, yeah, I did that, and let it go, as opposed to playing the victim. I mean, this whole situation, look, I used to like older women my whole life, and just, you know, but I was short, so I didn't really have my day in the sun like I wanted to. It took me a while to
get. You see that, Jay? JJ got a point, though, like you said. Yeah, you know, no one can misuse you unless you allow it.
And how often
some people get away with what you allow them to get away with, and that is true. If you get someone an inch, they're going to take a fucking mile, because it's just human nature to want more. And people try to push the envelope to see how far they can get away with things. That's just human nature, and that's just life.
I agree.
Yeah,
but
you know,
somebody's got to put the kibosh on it.
I'm quick to put the curveball on these young boys. I'd be like, baby, no, my daughter's 31, my son 28. I can't do you, boo-boo. But thank you for the compliment.
And do they turn around and go, can I get your daughter's number?
No. They're not that old. They're trying to go for the mama.
I mean, hey, you know, who could fault them? That's how you do when you're young. When you're young, that's earning your stripes. I mean, we all did it. But, you know, it's – I just think people need to, you know, kind of own up to that kind of thing. If you're gaming, say you're gaming, let people know where you stand. Give people the opportunity to make a choice, because, you know, that's when I think people get upset, when you take away the choice, you know. Okay, what do we got here? So for years, I dated much older men. They didn't know how to take my mindset. I wasn't into partying or all of that, even at a younger age. So my rule was they had to be at least 5-10 years older than I. No one had a problem with it then, and at least nothing was said to either my partner nor me. Again, as a man, we almost never, unless she's literally coming out of the playground with pigtails, most people aren't going to say anything, because if you're, let's say you're an older man, and you get a hot young thing, and by that I mean, you know, late teens, early 20s, and yeah, you're still a G, because young women have their pick of the litter. A hot, fine young woman. But you know what? Before it became an issue, you'd be amazed how many people had a high school girlfriend, and how many of you ladies in our demographic, in our generation, used to talk about, in high school, dating and older, you didn't date people in your grade. You wanted somebody who was a couple of years older or in college. So guess what? Believe it or not, that's still pedophilia. Even if he's 19 and you're 16, that's pedophilia, even if you think you're mature.
Of course it is.
If you want to call it that.
I wasn't allowed. My brothers would step in like freaking black.
For those that didn't have brothers, or those who had a single parent, or those who didn't have the protection you had, how many people have been taking advantage of taking on that ride? I get where you're coming from, but we're talking
but I'm sure they wanted to, too, because, you know, the difference with women in the islands and women, like, up here in the States, I couldn't look outside the gate of my age range, or that shit was a problem. Like, he had better been in school with me, and we had better just be in crushing. Because if he hasn't been driving was a problem. He got a car. What?
But it's a little different. I mean, you got to understand. You're from a very defined area. Like, it's not like that here where you're from. Yeah, everybody knows one another, is related, has dated, knows the family.
Most of my friends here in the States that were in school, they were 16, 17. They had boyfriends 24, 25, driving with jobs and stuff. Of course.
Exactly. See, that kind of thing here. Look, you got 5 high schools in a 5-mile radius. It's easy to be a freshman and have a senior boyfriend at another school. Technically, that's illegal, but if you look at it, we're both in high school. Like, I was 2 years older than my girlfriend in high school, but when I turned 18 and she was still 16 and a half, I could have gotten in trouble. And exactly.
Yes,
and it was 2 years. And, but see, we didn't think like that back then because it was like, okay, she's a freshman, I was a junior. Nobody thought like that until somebody brings it to your attention. So my point is, if you got a 19-year-old girl and you're 26, 27, people are like, oh, you got you a little firecracker. It looks good on the arm of that person. But I tell people all the time, I don't like when people start talking about that whole women are more mature than men because you're not. Physically, you absolutely are. Mentally, 16 is still dumb 16. 19 is still dumb 19. And people give too much credit. And that's a disservice to you ladies. It's not me knocking you. It's a disservice. Listen, I got two of them. And I promise you, they're highly intelligent. They're still goofy teenagers. One happens to be 17. One is 19. And I love the fact that they are. I don't want them to try to be grown-ups and be women and all that. Your body is already showing that you're becoming an adult and a woman. I don't want you thinking that you have to be super old acting and all that. So I want that to go away. I can't do it, but I want it to go away. That maturity thing, it's not fair to young ladies. Not fair at all.
Right.
Right. And on that note, we're going to pause for the cause. If you are listening to CB and the Boys and you're just joining us, you're listening to CB and the Boys here on Blog Talk Radio. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivation. I messed that one up. We come to do it over. Okay, B, here we go. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator here on Blog Talk Radio. But we also have several other platforms for your enjoyment. And you can also catch our playback on iHeartRadio. So we're a part of the iHeartRadio family, so definitely check us out there. And when you do, don't forget to like us and subscribe. You can also check us out on YouTube. Again, don't forget to like us and subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your mama, your daddy, your grandma.
That's my shit.
Tell the deceased, if they're deceased, have them go haunt somebody so they can enter in their body and like us and subscribe. There you go.
What?
And we're also on Facebook. So on Facebook, don't forget to go to our page, CB and the Boys Radio Show. Like us and subscribe. We love your support. We love that you listen to us every week. But we need you guys to spread the word, like us, and subscribe. So our topic tonight, back to our show, our topic tonight, we are talking about age, and we're also talking about giving a damn about yourself, loving yourself, because obviously there are a lot of people who don't because they leave the house looking like who'd have thought it and why. But back to the age. Now, there are many songs that have been created on the subject of age being nothing but a number. So first off, we're going to kick this segment off with Aaliyah. And age ain't nothing but a number. And for those of you who don't know who Aaliyah was, she used to be married to R. Kelly, and she was quite young when she was with him. So we're going to talk about that when we return. Here is Aaliyah.
She was young when she was a DMX, too.
Oh, that's right, she did. right. Aging, nothing but a number. So do you guys agree with that? Not everybody speaking one.
You know, that was so controversial, man. That was so crazy. But here's what's funny. That was not even the first or the fifth time that happened, not even in the entertainment industry. I know everybody know Jerry Lee Lewis married his 14-year-old cousin. Elvis did the same shit. But it's kind of funny how it all came to a head with R. Kelly. And what's crazy is when I moved to Vegas, I met a guy at the barbershop who said his niece was involved in that shit. And they said they literally lost her for a couple of years. She disappeared. And then one day she just showed up at the house for like 2 hours with furs and money and all this shit. She had a phone for a hot minute and then was gone again. And then she came back and she was like, I'm over it. So like the stories are real, but that's crazy. See, like that kind of thing, that's just... okay, again, for any of us who have or has had a teenage daughter, could you even imagine your kid coming in going, yeah, I went to the concert. I think I'm going to leave with this dude. So I'm going to be like, so where each one of y'all want your burial plot? In Chicago or where we live? Because it ain't popping. But that's a sickness right there.
No, let me tell you my little situation. I'm going to just put a little dot on it. My situation was almost the same with my daughter, except big difference. So she's gay, and at the time, she was 17, and her girlfriend was 15. So when she turned 18, she decided she's going to move out in high school. She's going to move out and move in with her girlfriend, which became a whole different disaster. 6 months later, she goes to jail, and I've been fighting ever since. She was 18. She's now 31. She's now in prison, just to say the very least. Shit happens with these kids. So whether you have teenage kids or not or what, or they're going to do what the hell they want to do nowadays, no matter how your upbringing is, you could be as strict as you want to be. You think you got it all right. This kid is just a perfect kid. Next thing you know, they go and they get involved with somebody and their whole world goes whack.
Right. I don't think it's about being strict, though, because remember how we grew up, that was a thing. Strict mom, strict grandma, strict dad.
If child abuse and all that shit was on and popping back in the day, all our parents would be locked up.
Yeah, we probably, none of us would have known some of our relatives. But I think the thing is,
been locked up for life.
I try to explain, and I try to have open and candid conversation with my kids, as opposed to, look, I forbid this, I forbid that. I think they understand what I accept and what disappoints me, but I still try to give them the option to make the right decision until they go too far down a rabbit hole, which thankfully so far hasn't happened. But I think it's like anything, the tighter you squeeze the bar wet soap, the slippery it is, the harder it is to hold on to. I don't want it to be like that. I want to let them have, you know, the opportunity to make choices. And again, everybody.
So I was really naive to it because it's really and truly she was that way since she was like in the 8th grade, but I didn't find out till the 12th grade. So that was just me being naive because she played basketball and her whole little dress code with her little t-shirt with her little basketball shorts and basketball and the whole little Aaliyah looks, right? And then the little boys that got involved in her thinking, oh, shit, okay, she got little boyfriends here and there. Okay, whatever, you know, they like her, but I know what's going to happen. They're going to ask her for a kiss and she's going to dump them, you know, which is how she was. But I didn't know that when the parents were doing the sleepovers, everybody, all these little groups sleeping in each other's places, that really and truly we're protecting them from the boys, but really we should have been protecting them from the girls because the girls are doing the girls. We just didn't know that.
Young people are young people, no matter what.
We ain't trying to go to the left on the topic tonight because we got this topic, and this is going to be a topic for another show.
Right, but I do think when it comes to that huge difference in age, you almost have to try to keep them in your pocket for a while. Again, not lock them up or anything like that, but, yeah, my kids can't come in the house with somebody 7, 8, 9, you cannot do it. And you're right. I dated a girl who ended up marrying the guy that got her pregnant. She lied to her parents about his age. She was 16. He was 24. Now, again, clearly there was no father in the house because the dude is still alive. Because you can't come to me like that, even if the damage is done. But I do understand we can't be with them all the time. But I've made my kids understand I don't want to be with you all the time. Your choices are up to you. You should probably choose wisely. But you're right. In the end, we still did things against our parents' wishes, and our kids are going to do it too. If you're lucky, you make it through and you learn a lesson. If you're not, you either end up with a trophy or not at all. So I just feel like there's a lot more to lose when you've got someone that's got that much experience. They just know how to game you. Listen, I don't care how much experience they've got. They're in a 21-year-old on the planet that can dupe me or game me. I've just done too much and been around too long, but you see what I mean? So imagine a 21-year-old trying to talk to your 14 or 15-year-old. Nothing good can come from that.
Right.
And again, this isn't the old days.
Right, of course. And I also think that, you know, women that are like, let's just say my age, right, in the 50s, I don't really think that you want to take somebody in their 30s serious. You know, I really haven't seen any relationship where somebody is 50 and they're dating somebody that's 30 years old and it's really lasting. You know what I'm saying? I see it to be like a whole lot of fun and, you know, you're traveling with this person
and
you're having real fun, you're shopping, all this stuff is good. When it's over, it's over. But I can't see a serious relationship with a 30-something-year-old or even a 20-something-year-old. That's all wrong. My brain doesn't even go that far.
She said it's all wrong.
35 and under is like incest. You're going to jail. That's all wrong. You know? I got the 15-year gap in my head going on. Like, how much can I take? You know, and like you said, it might be somebody that been married before, they have kids, they live their whatever little life, and then they meet somebody like me, and they're like, oh, shit, you know what, it's a 15-year gap, but I've done this, I can take care of you, I can handle you. And then that's for conversation and experience and see where we at. But that still, to me, is like...
It's not the norm.
It's a no, kind of, you know?
Right. It can happen, but is it the norm? No. But, yeah, I definitely think once you get beyond that 15-year gap, you got to be of a similar mindset. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And you have to be realistic, you know.
You just want to smash at that point.
We just want to smash no matter what. Shit, even when we get too old, too, we just want to smash. You see old dudes whose dick ain't worked since the turn of the century, but they still watching the sweet young thing walk by like this. His eyes work.
And I can't even look at a friggin' 65 or 70-year-old and be like, oh, he's sexy.
Okay, hold up. So when Ron Isaac did the verses, you gonna tell me you didn't think Uncle Ron was fly? You goddamn
right.
I'm a man, and I was like, that nigga fly. I ain't saying doable, but I'm just saying he was fly.
Somebody being cool and fly, and it's somebody I'm working with, and we building business relationships, and we about to make some fucking money, that's a big difference. But when I talk about me and messing around with somebody 70 years old, 60, 75, look,
okay.
I've been getting some looks lately.
What you going to do when you get there, Mimi?
Let me check it out.
I want to
just throw this out there for the statistics sake. All the marriages in the United States, 1.6% of the people are age differences from 15 to 20 years.
Uh-huh.
15 to 20 years in what age range, though?
Right. What's the age
range? It just gives us 15 to 20 years.
So
1.6% of the men are older from 15 to 20 years. Now, vice versa, where the wife is older from 15 to 20 years is only 0.3%.
Yeah, I was about to say, it can't be higher. It's got to be lower.
Yeah,
it's
only 0.3%. If a 70-year-old look at my ass, he's going to be like, oh, hell yeah, you coming home with me.
You prime real estate.
I'm here, 30-year-old.
But, the thing is, if that's all you're trying to do is have fun, what difference does it make? I know you're talking about having more, obviously, but if all you want to do is have fun, what difference does it make what generation or age
you're
at?
It makes absolutely no difference if all you want to do is have fun. And that is the PS on the topic tonight, is that if all you want to do is have fun, look, shit, it don't matter what the hell age you are. As long as you're having your fun and it ain't nothing serious and you ain't getting no ring and it ain't all this ooh,
Give you 3.5 minutes, maybe even 4.
Huh?
I said, give him 3.5 minutes, maybe even 4. You'll be wanting to miss.
That's it. You have your fun. But if it's about getting serious, then it's a totally different story. That's a different subject, you
okay.
know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I'm just curious.
Hey, try this on the side. In Somalia, there's a man that's 112. He's married to a 17-year-old.
Yeah, but that's cultural. That means nothing. That just means he's got the money or the huts or the goats or some shit to pay for her. That doesn't count.
That was an arranged marriage.
right. Like I said, you know,
right.
Changing again, the baby's diaper and her husband's diaper. That shit doesn't count.
Ew.
What you say, ooh, for me, if you were married and you loved your man and you had to change his diaper, you wouldn't?
Oh, yeah, that's a different story. I would do that.
But not the 117-year-old?
But I'm not talking about me being 50 and asking 80-year-old. Because at the end of the day, I'm making his ass to have fun. I ain't going to have fun with no 80-year-old. That works.
What if he taking some Niagara, though? He ready to get down.
Look, you know what? It's not even about. Look, I might kill him anyway, and then I have to answer to the whole family. Can you throw
that
in box?
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because nobody cry at his funeral, and you couldn't wipe that fucking smile off his face if that's how he died. Trust me. They wouldn't be mad at you. It'd be like in color purple. How he died? On top of me.
Hey, hold on. I gotta shoot a toast out right quick though. To one of my favorite actors, you know, Harrison Ford. Yeah,
what do you
got it going on.
He got him a fly young.
Hey, he's 22 years older than his wife.
That's called money.
He's married to Alec McBeal.
Well, there you go. I mean, but Mimi said it earlier, and she's 100% right. Most of that is contractual, and even if it's not, it's really just kind of the in vogue thing to do out there. So, yeah, just pick who the it girl is and say, you know what, you want to date for a while? All right, like getting married and divorced there is like getting a car. You know, you pay for the shit for 6 years, and then you move on. You upgrade.
Right, exactly.
He married Calista Flockhart, who played Ally McBeal. So
yeah, the skinny broad. We know who it is. Yeah. I never thought she
was
cute. Yes,
but our listeners might not know, and they're thinking, oh, he married Ally McBeal. And they're like, oh, who's Ally McBeal? It's a character.
They don't know who Ally McBeal is anymore.
Right, they're
too young anyway.
Right.
Okay, real quick. I've been meaning to ask you guys this, and I can't wait because I already know when a prize is going to come out of one of y'all's faces. How do you feel about women proposing to their man? Okay, let me get. I want me to answer, and then we got to give her like 30 seconds. You know, 2 minutes and shit. And then you got to hit the bell because I got to get Crystal's answer too. Okay, Mimi, talk to me. Tell me why not.
Okay, first of all, I am not going down on my knee unless. Anyway. I am not proposing to no man. That's not going to happen. Because this is the thing, right? I'm not. Okay, so us girls are always ready. Come on. That's the thing is, we're always ready for the question to be popped. Because we know at the end of the day, the man has to pop the question at some point in life or it's just not happening. But we have to understand that this is where we're going, this is where we're heading to, and then at some point he pops it. But what happens if we pop the question and his ass ain't ready? Like, wait a minute, I wasn't ready for this. I think the chances of a woman saying yes than a man saying, okay, yes, I think for a woman it's a lot sweeter for her in her saying yes than it would for a man. I think a man might probably be like, damn, I'm going to say yes because I don't want to make her look bad in front of her people, but really, I'm not really ready for this. I don't know if a man would be as ready as we are. Like, my thing, we're born ready. Men have to catch up with us in the whole ready department. That's how I feel about that.
Agreed. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Yep.
Chris,
because if he ain't ready, and I go pop the question, and he's asked to just say yes, it's because of the family being there and everybody being there. He don't want to embarrass me. Then we get behind closed doors, and he'd be like, "Baby, what you just did?" Then that's a whole different thing. So yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Crystal.
I'd say no because one, I have no desire to get married to anyone ever in life. So,
oh,
for me, you know, it is what's expected of us women to, you know, stick with the regular stigma that we have to be barefoot and pregnant and take care of a husband and a home. And, you know, these days we're doing it for ourselves. You know, I don't need a man to take care of me. I don't need a man to define me. You know, now if I want to be with someone, that's different. But I look at marriage as, you know, ownership papers, because when you get married, you become one. And you normally, the tradition is you take your husband's name. And, you know, and you're expected to take care of your husband, be there for your husband, be his, you know, his rock, and he can lean on you, and, you know, and that kind of gives him the open to, you know, do what the hell he wants to do, because it's expected for a woman to sit at home, you know, and I refuse to sit home and, you know, cry ho-hum for a man. Fuck that. I can make my own fun. I can do what I want. I like my freedom. I don't want to be tied down to one person. It's too hard for me. I'm my father's daughter. My dad had a problem with monogamy as well. And, you know, it's human nature to see what's on the other side of the fence, to see if the grass is greener, you know, in the next bedroom, to see if the grass is greener, you know, with the coworker. You know what I mean? So it's human nature to want more, to be curious, to want to know, you know. And if you're married, you're kind of bound unless you have an open marriage. Now, if I could have an open marriage, then that's a whole other can of worms, and I'd be down for that. But for an open marriage to work, it has to be a mutual thing, because then it's cheating if your partner isn't on board with the open marriage. So in your head, it's an open marriage, but your partner's thinking, you know, we're together forever, you know, she loves me, he loves me, blah, blah, blah. And in your mind, you're like, oh, this is an open marriage, so I can go sleep with this one and that one and this one and that one. And if it's not a mutual thing, then it just becomes cheating. So I think that if more people were open to having an open marriage, it could save a lot of marriages, because I would say, in my opinion, 80% of the reasons why marriages fail is because people look for comfort or look for whatever they're missing at home. They look for it outside of the marriage. But if people were willing to...
He just really needs to get with somebody that can give him everything at home.
Exactly.
No person on the earth can do 100%, though. So we talked about that. There's no 100% person. But...
But the thing is, one woman won't, another woman will. So if that woman that won't isn't open to doing what the other woman will, then if she leaves her man,
whatever,
that's it.
That's real.
That's real. But there is that 1%. It's almost like a freaking pregnancy test. It's always that 1%. I might be one of those. I might be the 1%.
So what I've heard, and I love it. That's what I wanted to hear, because I knew I was going to get some gems. But I heard, this is the two things I got, and I think I will agree with for sure. women are pretty much born ready when it comes to, like, the whole settling thing and all that. I really think it's more in your nature in that respect. We tend to just fucking concede. and it has nothing to do with how we feel or what we want and what we think and all that. It's just, I think it's the nature of the beast. But I also heard something that most women will not admit to, and that's women cannot handle rejection. You think it's because you're usually the ones doing the rejecting, which is true. We have been born to ask. We reject it, move on, ask again. We don't care. That's not really the nature of women. And the things that maybe are viewed as rejections, we're like, really? But something like that, like listen to what Mimi said. She's like, look, we're born ready, so we're just waiting on y'all to get your shit together. Fair enough. But then if a guy, if you ask a guy and he goes, let me think about it. See, a woman reserves the right to go, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. Let us do that. Oh, you butt hurt. Then you're like, how dare you say you got to think about it? That just means you can't handle rejection or
the
possibility or the prospect.
That's the reason why.
Exactly. That's my point. But I, because again, see, the thing is, men are 80% ego. Women have bigger egos. And I know you don't believe that because we use more of ours. But it's true, because your ego tells you you cannot handle that rejection, because you cannot abide by a man walking around the city going, I told Mimi Acosta, hell no, I told her I couldn't do it. You can't have that. You cannot have that.
No,
and
I
get it.
I'll be looking for his ass. I'll be like,
Mimi, like, no.
Right.
Hey, see, Mimi will go to her grave being, I have not been dumped. I have not been rejected. To hell with that.
But for a woman to get up the courage to even propose to a man, there's got to be some type of sign, something there that's telling her or giving her the inkling that, hey, you know, since he's not doing it, let me just go ahead and do it because he says he loves me. He says he wants to be with me.
No, not always. It's not the, like, the fairy tale thing. And again, for the serial polygamist over here, It's not that people are quoting or spouting, all kind of old school Shakespearean quotes and things like that. Okay, when I was younger, and this is by no means a brag, but I had two young ladies I dated that both told me that they were that close to proposing, which I thought was really weird. But I was young. I was in my 20s. And it's one of those, like Mimi said again, like you guys agree, when you know, at least to you in your heart of hearts, I love this person. I'm crazy about this person. I want X. This is what I want. There's nothing stopping you because you're like, that's what I want to do. And so one was going to fly from Georgia to do it, and one was going to fly from Tulsa to do it. And it scared the shit out of me, not because I didn't love them, but because I know I wasn't ready. At 21, 22, no way. And so the rejection wouldn't have, the quote-unquote rejection wouldn't have been, hell no, it would have been like, I know me well enough to know I would ruin and wreck all of that. And I even had one say, you know, she was like, you have an amazing way. Even when you reject a woman, you make her feel great. And that was a compliment to me because I was like, I adore you, but are you out of your fucking mind? I'm having way too much fun living at home. So it wasn't anything negative, and I never had anything bad to say about her. I actually hold her in quite high regards for having the balls to even say I was going to, or I was going to fly there and do that. So I guess depending on who you're dealing with, I see what you're getting at, Mimi. You don't ever want somebody to be like, oh, guess what happened to me. That's why you ladies will hint. You will ho-hum, roundabout. You'll do everything, but you will not ask. Because what you're not going to let be said is, I fronted on her. I rejected her. I dissed her. Y'all ain't having that shit. A woman will make up with you, get back with you, so she can break the fuck up with you and say she broke the relationship off.
Right.
You rat bastards.
Yep.
Comment on Vigo. I just said that if she ever did, it better be a secret. Oh my God!
That's hilarious.
No, so technically, my wife proposed to me. I said, I think if you still with me a year from now, then we'll get engaged.
Fair
and
enough.
If you still with me a year from that, then we'll get married.
You're a glutton for punishment. So
that's exactly what we did.
How can I leave? You said what? So the whole idea of getting down to one knee and all that,
it works for her because look what she's
doing. Right. It can go like that. But the whole fairy tale that we get caught up in, we're taught and shown as kids, not always the way it goes. Sometimes it's really practical. Sometimes it just is what it is. It just kind of flows. And people go, hey, what do you think? It's not the whole down on one knee, can I ask your dad, all that shit.
In a very nice manner for her, so I got to give you kudos to that. That was really done. You didn't say, hell no. He was like, okay, look, check this out. If in a year from now, and if you ask,
that's how you do it, though. Hey, you strike a deal. You strike a deal.
You gave her something good for her to run with as a woman. You know, you didn't say no. You said if this is where we at over here, because you already know what you're dealing with. You're the only one know that what you're dealing with. Baby, if you can deal with me for a whole year from now, we'll do this. And if I
you
can
ask for it.
You can deal with me for another year, then guess what? That's what we're going to do.
And that's cool.
You basically warned her, look, mommy, this is who I am. Can you fuck with me? Because if you can, I got you.
So in that case, a back-ended proposal is okay from a woman? Like a back-ended question proposal, that's okay? If she just throws out that query, what do you think about?
That was just really her sexy way of saying, this motherfucker's crazy, I know I'm dealing with a whole lot of shit, but I really want him because he turns me on in all kinds of crazy kind of ways. So let me just throw it out there in a kind of way where he gonna, where we will understand what we're talking about.
He's still old fashioned plum dumb. Don't worry about it. Okay, so let's
go. When it came down to that time, like a year from that conversation, we went to the Olive Garden, had dinner, when the waitress brought dessert, she set down my pie. And she set down her tray, and it was a ring on it.
You know,
and I got it all on video.
That is so see what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about, Roger? That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, but see, hey, she did her part, Mimi. She did her part, too. It can't be one-sided, buddy.
Check this out, though. So we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this in front of George. We got to talk about this right now. The thing about it is that she had a conversation about it. She didn't really ask him, will you marry me?
We have to gush. We have to compliment. We have to show you and tell you that we want and desire you and that you're everything, but it doesn't have to be reciprocated.
That's the old-fashioned fantasy.
No,
that's what it has to be.
It has to be because he has to know where he stands with her, and she's got to know where she stands with him. It really has to be a
so why does it stop in marriage? That's all I want. Right. So why does it stop in marriage? The proposal, I mean, the inquisition. Why does it have to stop there?
I think because we have been conditioned to know or to feel that it's the man's place to ask us to marry. Because it's what we've known, that it's what I learned. Like, my thing is, I can't see myself going down on one knee and asking a man to marry me because that's, to me, in my mind, that's not that's not how it should be done.
Well, but George didn't, but neither did I. A lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do the one knee shit.
I didn't get
that's
on
just,
my one knee.
It's one thing. So that's that fantasy that you get presented with. Everybody ain't going on one knee doing this shit. Sometimes
okay, so let me just put it out there. Because my thing is, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I might have been on that shit. Today, if we the moment have a conversation about getting married, we're going to go to the courthouse and just do the damn thing. And let's fuck all this bullshit.
And have a big party. And have a big party.
She going to run to the courthouse.
Don't nobody give a fuck about you getting married. And all they want to do is come and talk about the dress you wore and how big your shit was. And how big your shit was.
Very similar about the rules being followed. Why, in other words, why is a woman's happiness and importance more than a man? And I think, just playing devil's advocate, I understand the premise behind that thought process. It's not both. First of all, both people should equally let the other person know where they stand and how important they are. I think if it's one-sided, you're going to lose anyway. Because if I'm doing all the work and then I pull up and pull out, guess what? This machine doesn't run. Same thing with you. If you're giving me all your energy and everything and I'm receiving, and then you stop, guess what? Everything stops. So I think it's give and take. Some people are a lot more ready to compliment and to vocalize their thoughts. Some people are sayers. Some people are doers. You know, love is an action word. We always say that. And that's true. Some people like to make sure that you know. They tell you daily. And some people like to show by the little things they do. We speak different love languages, if you will. But I just feel like when the rules get skewed because, well, that benefits me, so I want that, but that benefits you, so I don't, I think that's where a problem comes in. And you're right, there are a lot of old-fashioned rules, but it's funny how people tend to pick when they want to be contemporary and when they want to be old school. And this just is funny because it's one of them, that whole fairy tale. But then people want to be modern about their way of thinking, running the show, being the boss, doing that shit. But then you want an old-fashioned proposal, proclamation, and all that. I just think that, unfortunately, people are riding the fence a little too much. And all that to say, if women can do everything, you own businesses, you earn great, and you do all this other shit, why can't you, since you claim you pursue what you want in life, why can't you let a man know, listen, bro, I would love to be your wife, I would love to marry you. And even if you do something like George, but the other way around, go, but look, I ain't going to hang around forever. Just know and understand that. All right, I'll see you in 18 months. However you want to do it so that it doesn't look like a proposal, Mimi.
We have a comment on Vigo. Goddess says, George Goddess said that your wife took your manhood.
No, he gave it to her. Understand, it's different. She didn't take shit, he gave it.
No. None of the above.
You know what? I can believe that. I can believe that. You know what?
What's
that? And every situation is different. And I can tell in George's situation, George was like, you know what, baby? You got it. That's what it was.
You hung in there. She proved herself. She proved herself to him. And therefore, he was like, you know what? You got it. I'm a man of my word.
Exactly.
I love you anyway. You got it. That's how we think. Because as a man, if I know for a fact that you – see, everybody claims that term ride or die. I'm going to be honest with you. I've met two in my life. Every woman claims to be a ride or die, but no, you're not. You've got conditions. Everybody's got conditions. And when you have children, you've got even more. So she proved herself to the man. Hell, yeah, he did the thing. I ain't mad about that.
I think I've scared somebody being a ride or die.
That's because you wanted to get to that part before shit needed to be. So crazy ass. We love you. Mimi was like, I love you. Who I got to stab? He's like, baby, it's cool. It's cool. Oh, Lord.
Oh,
what you got up for us, boss?
It's all good. It's all love.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to TV and the Voice. It comes to you every Wednesday. for your midweek motivator here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch us on iHeartRadio. And when you do, go to our page. Once you like us and subscribe. When you go to our Blog Talk page, you also want to like us. And we also have several other ways that you can join us. If you are watching us on Facebook, if you are watching us on YouTube, definitely on both of those channels, like us and subscribe. And if, for everyone on Bego, if you want to weigh in tonight on our topic, or if anyone would like to weigh in on our topic tonight, you can give us a call at 516-418-5603. Again, that's 516-418-5603. You're listening to CB and the Boys. And next we have a song coming up for you. Here is Maxi Priest, which was on the soundtrack of How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And here is the Art of Seduction. So here we go.
Give me a hand, girl. Give me a hand.
Woman's a chill, and I'm so sure.
Fred.
Maxi Priest and the Art of Seduction. I have rocked many of them.
For real? That's how you feel?
Oh, yeah.
What just happened?
You just cut my song off.
Yeah.
They were getting people in trouble.
Wait a second.
She just cut my song off.
Not that.
Don't be hating, Crystal. Don't be hating, Crystal. Don't be hating. Don't be hating.
So what happened was that every now and then you're driving on the street and you get a little flat tire and you got to go to the left and change it. So that's what happened. So now we're back on track. So let's go ahead, but it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like, you get you the right young man to come along, take his shirt off, and change your tire while he's getting a little sweaty out there in the street. That's how you make magic. Should have said he ran to.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, were you saying something? We've already established that Crystal got some deep-rooted issues she needs to work through. That's all right. Good question. Words. Exactly. Like, seriously.
So we're not alone.
You know what I'm saying?
Jay's gone and sick, but you don't even have to deal with us. She cut us all off.
For real.
I appreciate that goddamn song got like 10 freaking verses. I'd be like, oh my God.
No, it don't. It's got one verse.
But you know
what? It's got one verse that they say 10 times.
No, it's long because he didn't want to go home. That's why he made the song so long. Look, put it like this. Y'all get on our nerves any damn way, but if you ugly and you get on our nerves, we'll never come home. That's called death by cirrhosis of the liver. I got to listen to this ugly bitch and I ain't got nothing to look forward to? No. I'm working in the garage.
Definitely have a conversation tomorrow and the next 24 hours after the show, okay? That song, we might have to find another song to get on somebody's nerves, but that song is such...
That's like
that
torment.
That song, everybody's dick goes off.
Hey, you know what? That song could break up a fight. And if somebody was getting ready to fight, and it was going to be a brawl, and she played that, niggas would be getting ready to squabble and be like, what the fuck? And they would quit fighting. They would, like, be friends and start drinking and leave or some shit. Or flatten their tires. I don't know.
Right. People be like, oh, my God.
That
person
would
be thinking like, oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
She's playing that shit. I don't even know that song, but she's playing it.
I got another
one. So let me go apologize. Cause she on some other shit I don't even know. She got to educate me.
Yeah, it's something going on, people. We're going to get to the bottom of it. If you do, we probably don't.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
I'm scared.
We need to have an intervention.
JJ, you are so right. I don't know what had happened was she got the remote control on her end, and then George got a different kind of remote control on his end. And
we're gonna have to have an intervention.
They're not compatible.
We don't know.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you. That's all right. I'm going to show the hell up in Arizona one of these days and snatch that shit out of her hands. I'm going to show up on y'all. Oh, my God. What is wrong with you people? Yes.
So, but what had happened was...
Fuck up a wet dream.
There is a whole after party with the show. Okay, so y'all don't just, like, walk away with it. At least some of the platforms, and I'm going to let, you know, my girl let y'all know where the platforms are so we can stay connected and keep it moving. So y'all can, if y'all on the platform that's about to, like, exit, then y'all need to come to the platform where we're going further so we can, like, really have some discussion. Just FYI.
Very well put. If you're just joining us, you've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday as your Midweek Motivator.
Some shit. I don't know.
Because the other Wednesday is your Midweek Motivator. You can catch us here on Blog Talk Radio. And also iHeartRadio. So definitely go to those platforms and like us and subscribe. You can also catch us on Facebook as well as Beagle Live and YouTube. Go to those platforms and also like us and subscribe. So those of you who are on Blog Talk and iHeartRadio right now, please exit and come to YouTube, Facebook, or come to Beagle Live. And now our after show starts, so you guys can give your ending lament. And we'll have Mary J. Blige, Beautiful, take us home. So go ahead, guys.
Ooh. Thank y'all for hanging out with us. I had a great time. I love traveling and getting to see my family. Look for me everywhere we are. Take care of yourself. Be cool.
So, look, one love, God bless. All my teams, y'all know how I feel about y'all. And at the end of the day, it's not even about that tonight. It's about some other shit. So I love y'all. Mwah.
Pinkies up. Hair, peach, and chicken grease.
We're going to get Crystal and medicine next week. I promise y'all. Love you.
All right. And to take it home, we've got Mary J. Blige and Beautiful. Here we go. And I want to thank, before we play this, I want to thank everyone for rocking out with us tonight on Blog Talk Radio and iHeartRadio. Again, we come to you every Wednesday as your Midweek Motivator. So definitely go to our platforms, like us, and subscribe. And we will see you next week. And look forward to the playback link that I send around with our iHeartRadio link. So you can go to that page and you can listen to all the fun that you've missed. So those of you that are on Facebook, YouTube, stick around and also be live. And our after show starts next, right after Mary J. Blige and Beautiful. So we will see you guys next week. And love yourself and love each other. Remember, loving oneself is the most important thing. If you don't love yourself, how do you expect someone else to love you or you to have the capability to love someone else?
Right.
So love yourself, take care of yourself and each other. Here's Mary J. Blige and Beautiful. And remember, all of our ladies, everyone that waiting on our topic tonight, love yourself and dress presentable. When you go outside, take the bonnet off, okay? Take the bonnet off.
Church, so
yes!
Damn shoes.
It's not even cool anymore. Like, just take it all off.
My shit.
Let me take you to a place where there is understanding. Where
she came to me.